takes.
And you kind of
appreciate it. Specific.
Heartbreaking fashion.
You stay up.
What? Raise 10 nothing. Vegan.
The Imaginary Radio Show with the Imaginary Radio Show players. In tonight's episode, we're featuring Brian O.
On my own show, when they leave, I record myself. And I'm funny.
Alicia. Brian M.
Because when you understand.
Oh, yes!
Sherry.
Where are your sawed-off shotguns when you need them?
Lisa.
Famous in my bedroom.
Oh, I didn't mean it!
You're listening to the Imaginary Radio Show.
All right, so this morning, Alicia and I were watching TV, and when we watch TV, sometimes we make comments about the TV shows, or we joke around or whatever, and it's funny to make jokes and stuff like that. But what I learned today is that you can't make a joke about somebody you're in the room with when you're the only two people in the room. Because
nobody will laugh.
No one else laughs. And you get in trouble. So
you can say the joke now, and we'll have a chuckle. Right.
I don't even know what the joke was, but
yes, you did.
But I told,
right.
No, that's true. But I told, Alicia, like, you know, I have nobody to my right to go like ha ha ha, and they'll go ha 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 back, right? And so it made me think, you know, imaginary people, right? You know how some kids growing up like have an imaginary friend. Like, I never had that because I think it's kind of odd.
But now you see the value of it.
There should be imaginary adults.
But did you feel like your childhood was lacking anything?
No, I don't. And you know what?
That's why you didn't have imaginary friends.
Maybe. Because like when you played when you were a kid, you know, maybe I've imagined myself to be, I don't know, like a superhero or a cop or whatever, but I never like talked to an invisible person. Like that never really occurred.
I never talk out loud, but I thought all my stuffed animals were real. And
you
my
actually
baby dolls.
That?
I did.
That's a little different.
In my mind.
My sister did too.
This is physical.
My sister swore her pound puppy was real.
Yeah, I just thought they were alive. And just, yeah. I mean, I wouldn't talk out loud to them, but I treated them like they were real. They'd, you know, go in the cradle. I'd rock them. And
that's what, when I think of invisible friends, though, like, you know, when you see a movie and a kid's talking to somebody, like, it's an evil demon. That's what I'm thinking.
It's somebody to go home.
It's usually a manifestation of something that you're lacking.
I guess.
Especially if a child is like their parents don't get along or something like that. Like they will manifest mentally someone to replace that portion of their life that they're missing.
I'm sure it's healthy.
I was listening to a podcast the other day, and I don't know how true this is, but they said that a lot of kids who have like imaginary friends, a lot of times, I don't know how many is a lot, but a lot of times it's because they had a twin that I can't think
make
of what the word. Yeah, but not just didn't make it, but I can't think of what the term is, and it's driving me crazy. I just listened to the podcast the other day, but where like their body sort of absorbed the twin, and so it's kind of like in them a little bit. Yeah. And then like one of the people in the podcast, like he had been having stomach pains or whatever, and he goes to the doctor. And there's, like, a mass in there, so they do this operation, and they take this thing out, it had, like, fingernails and hair and bones and all this stuff.
His body absorbs his twin,
And he absorbed, so his imaginary friend was actually his twin that he'd been carrying around in his body his whole life.
Wow.
I
know, isn't that gross?
You know what, I'm just going to keep my jokes to myself.
Aw, no, you can have an imaginary grown-up.
I don't want one growing inside of me.
No. Well, at this juncture, my guess would be
fingernails and hair and toes and stuff.
Freaky.
Yeah. Oh. Isn't that weird?
Yeah.
I love weird stuff like that. I spoke to not imaginary adults. They were real, but I imagined them, that they were there. Do you want to hear my story?
Go ahead.
Well, I was like, I don't know, 14, 15, something like that, and I was at home, it was the summer, I wasn't working, and my sister and my dad were both working, so I had nothing to do, so it was summertime, I would sleep late, whatever. And, of course, I've loved the Monkees since, like, forever. And they happened to be running them on TV in that summer, so I would watch them every morning and everything. And I was just bored out of my mind, so I watched it, and then I was making a pot of coffee for myself. And so I imagined this whole conversation out loud with the four of them. And I don't even remember what the whole conversation was about right now, but I imagined asking all four of them if anybody wanted a cup of coffee. Well,
tell me you made a whole pot.
I made a whole pot anyway, because I didn't drink it. But apparently Mike Nesmith said yes. Okay, so, but I didn't realize how far I could carry this conversation, even though it was out loud. Until I walked into the living room with two cups of coffee.
Oh my god.
Nobody to give it to, and I was like, oh my god.
That's so funny.
Do we call them now, Brian?
Yeah. Somebody needs to.
No, because then not only will you not have somebody to nudge, but you won't have anybody in the room to make fun of either. Yeah. If you call them. So you might as well just keep her.
Wow. Yeah. Yeah, I know. Oh gosh, 20-something years later, that still cracks me up.
You're listening to the Imaginary Radio Show.
I had this idea that we should all tell some interesting things about, I guess, ourselves that maybe the world doesn't already know.
Okay.
And kind of why they're interesting, I guess. So who wants to start?
You.
No.
You start.
You're
I'll start.
Starting. Okay.
Brian starts.
The brave Brian's
one.
Gonna start.
The brave one.
Go ahead.
The real Brian. Okay. Sticky. I hate sticky things. I can't stand it. If I spill something on my hand or whatever and it's sticky, I gotta wash it off. Mm-hmm. I can't go through the day with anything sticky. Hate it. Sticky foods. I don't like eating foods, but with my hands.
I sympathize with that. Yeah.
If so, I gotta wipe it off with a napkin. But even then, it's still kind of sticky.
Yeah, I'm not a big fan.
I'm not a big fan of the sticky. But that's something about me that I just can't see. If I have something on my hand, whatever, it's sticky. Like I gotta wash it off. I can't.
You ever have gum in your hair?
No.
He doesn't really chew gum.
No, I don't chew gum. Like I don't know what happened, but I was driving to work and there was a sticky part on the steering wheel. I don't know what it was, whatever, but maybe I had
probably
touched
coffee.
Something. Maybe it was coffee or something. So I'm driving to work and I'm touching it. I'm like, oh, this sucks because like now my hand has sticky on it. The steering wheel is sticky. And I'm like, you know what?
It's now.
I'm gonna leave my hand on that steering wheel right in the sticky spot until I get to work. I'm gonna
so you don't get it all over.
So I'm gonna defeat this stickiness. I'm gonna see how long I can actually deal with it. And like several times I kept taking my hand off the wheel, like I can't do this. I can't touch this. It's sticky, I hate it. So that's it.
That's awesome. That's a good one.
Let's go around clockwise. Brian, you're
that would be you.
My clockwise.
Junior.
Yeah.
Sweet.
I have a cyst in my leg. The size of a, I guess like a golf ball, and it grows a little bit sometimes.
Okay.
When I run.
That's disgusting.
But does it go, does it get shrink again?
Or?
Yeah, if I work, you know, whatever, if I do any physical activity on my leg, I think it's on the muscle, kind of pushes it out, and then you could see it. Like, if I bend my leg, it's like this, bloop.
All right, stop.
Do you want it taken care of?
No. In fact, the only person who ever looked at it was my proctologist at the time.
No.
Because the only time I was at a doctor.
And
I'm like,
area.
You know, why don't you, while you're here, look at this. What is this? It really used to bother me a lot when I was a kid. He's like, I don't know. It's probably a cyst. You want to say it?
No.
No, it's really, not the dirty part.
No, I know.
Wait, how are we going to see it? You're going to take
please
your
stop touching.
No, we don't want to see it.
But it's right here.
Please
yeah.
stop
we're good.
Touching.
We're good.
No. You sure?
Yeah.
But you can see it. It goes like.
I don't.
I'm pretty sure
it.
She's
I'm getting
sure.
nauseous.
Why?
Because I'm.
It's just a cyst.
Gross me out.
Most people grosses out. Come on, look at my
stop.
Cyst.
So Alicia's first thing. She gets grossed out by talking about
my cyst. Looking at my cyst.
Oh, where is the video?
Right there. Look at it. Come on.
No.
Watch. If I do
just
this,
kiss it, Alicia. Stop.
Oh wow! Well, feel it. Go
no,
feel it. This is my hand.
Right,
you're
stop.
Not gonna throw.
Do you want me to throw over
stop.
You?
Feel it.
No,
feel it.
I think I don't
stop.
Want to feel
look
it.
It.
Thank you.
See it?
That's way too close proximity
stop.
To anything else that I don't want to be near. Thank you.
No. All right, come on.
Come on.
Alicia's word.
No. Just touch it once. Come on. Just touch it. It's right there.
Right.
Please.
No.
It's not near bad parts. Yeah, it's on my leg. It's on my leg.
It's on your leg.
All right, Brian.
Nobody wants to touch my cyst.
Right.
That's why you have
that's, if that's what you're calling it. Alicia, your work.
See it?
You should probably have it looked at to make sure that it is okay.
I've had it for 20 years. It's fine.
Stop touching it.
Maybe it's your twin.
Oh, that's right. My imaginary friend, Mr. Cyst. Hi, Mr. Cyst. You want to be friends with Alicia? Say hi to Mr. Cyst.
My foot's going to go where your proctologist was.
Whoa!
All right. Nice. Alicia, you want to talk about one of your facts?
Not until he stops touching himself.
That could be a long time. Or several short times.
Oh! That was really good coming
That's
from
good.
You.
Brian
I'm
made
surprised.
A dirty yet funny joke. Nice. Very nice. Brian's coming to the dark side.
Great.
But I think it would just be one short time.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. Then I gotta wait. Give me about 20 minutes.
Lord God. Or days. Go, Alicia.
When I chew, especially gum, I can only chew it on my left side. If I chew it on my right side, the left side of my jaw pops every single
TMJ.
Chew. Oh, cool. Get some gum.
Oh, it
Get
hurts.
Some gum.
It's icky.
Yeah, I get that too. Well, I get it on both sides, not just the one. So I can only chew gum for like a minute, and then I have to let it go.
Well,
right.
That was it?
That's it.
That was it. Okay. Okay. I collect Pez dispensers.
Sweet.
I have almost 400 of them.
Oh, really?
Oh, she should go to the Pez Museum.
Yes.
My dad has been there. He actually, went to a smaller museum in Pennsylvania that was closing, and he bought me some Pez that are, like,
rare.
Like, not in existence anymore. I have some stuff that's, like, out of, I have a book, like, stuff that's not being produced anymore, and some stuff that's maybe worth money. Not that I would ever sell them, but I have almost 400. I have big ones. They have, like, the 12-inch ones that, like, play music. And I have tons.
And spent these giant pens.
I have moving ones with batteries. Like, I have a Marvin the Martian one with, like, this little... He's holding this little tray, and he, like, moves over to this rocket ship, and it, like, sucks out of his.
Oh, wow.
They're awesome. I have cars, like, little moving cars. Yeah.
That's cute.
I have some really, really cool
ones. How do you have them displayed? Like, I would have them in, like, a wall unit.
Well,
like,
right now, I don't where I am, but, the last I had them displayed, I bought all these, like, floating shelves. They have ones that, like, without brackets that actually, it's like a bracket that you, like, put the shelf onto. So it looks as if it's coming out of the wall.
Right.
And I had, like, 8 of those. And I just displayed them all over the shelves, like, coming out of a wall.
Cool.
Wow.
It was very cool.
Neato.
Yeah.
I didn't know that.
Neato.
There you go. Pez. Now we know what to get her for Christmas.
Oh.
Pez.
All right.
Sherry?
Right, red.
All right.
What do you got?
I'm going to turn red on this one. I have two alphabet talents, actually. One, I can say the alphabet backwards, and another one, it's kind of like a language my cousin and I invented when we were younger. My mother and her mother used to have a language called the Op language.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know if you ever heard that.
Mm-hmm.
So every time there's
what do you know about La Ops? I never heard of it.
What?
What's Op language?
Why do you know it?
Yeah.
My sister and I used to speak it. I don't know.
What is it?
Well, my parents used to speak it, and...
It's a language?
It's like Pig Latin, but different.
Yeah, like...
Oh,
Latin.
Okay. So,
yeah.
Okay.
So, with the op language, when you say a consonant, you add op, and when it's a vowel, you say it. So, my name would be Sop Hoppy Rabbi.
Yeah.
So, whoa, that's harder than Pig Latin.
Yeah, Sop Hoppy Rabbi. Sop Hoppy Rabbi.
Wow, that's not pig.
So
Pig Latin's easy compared
to that.
You could
talk to each other like that. But so my cousin and I, we do crazy things, and we thought we were cool. We were like,
can you two talk in op?
It would take time because every word is really long.
Yeah,
you know,
like Brian would be bop brop a I nop.
No, that would be brain.
Oh,
she spelled that wrong in op language.
Bop-rop-I-A-nop.
I-A.
Yeah.
Oh, so you, okay.
Bop-rop-I-A-nop.
Oh, I get it now. Wow.
A-lop-I, how do you do C? Sop?
Cop.
I guess,
cop.
Probably cop.
A-lop-I-cop-I-A. I'm not as much fun. I only have four consonants.
I've never heard of that.
So it's just like, I guess an old thing. Like, my parents do.
Lop, I stop,
you know, that's how
okay.
it is.
It's
like,
okay.
So they taught it to us, and we thought we'd try to be cool and make up our own language. But however, it only worked for the alphabet, and we called it the Didi language. So it would kind of go like this. We'd go A to B to C to D to E to N F G D, A to J to J to K to N M L to P D, Q to R to N S, T to U to V D, W to N X N to Y to N to Z D. But to try to actually talk that way was tough, because after every syllable, you'd have to add the DD in. So it'd be like, what are you doing today?
It sounds like there's something wrong with the recorder. Like you dropped it in water.
Yeah, it was like a water, like you were underwater. So it really only worked for the alphabet, and we thought we were cool. But,
That's neat.
All right,
and then, one more thing with the alphabet. I could say it backwards.
I want to hear it.
And don't ever learn it, kids at home, because once you do, I screw up my letters. I don't know if N comes before M or backwards. So it just goes Z Y X W V U T S R Q P O N M L K J I H D F E D C B N A.
Nice.
Yeah, I get pulled over.
That was good. Exactly. I've always wanted to get pulled over. Yes, officer, I can say the alphabet backwards.
Ride in my car, and there's a good chance that won't happen.
That would freak him out. He was like that, boom. You walk dancing up and down the line. E-F-R-E. They're like, all right, she's fine. Let her go.
I got pulled over once.
That's my alphabet.
Once?
Well, the first time I got pulled over. I was leaving, I think I went with you and Jen and Jill to like a movie or something like that, and I was leaving, and I didn't turn on my headlights, and it was nighttime. It was enough nighttime that you're supposed to have the headlights on, but I don't know.
It's called dusk.
It was dusk, but it didn't seem.
It was enough nighttime.
I don't know. I guess I didn't pick up on it, or I was fine, or whatever. I got pulled over, and I'm like, what do I do? You know, I don't know what to do. Like, so I got the cop was behind me, and it was like a moment like where nothing was happening. I'm like, I guess I better get out.
Oh,
so,
no.
I got out of the car.
Clearly, neither have you been pulled over, nor do you watch Cops or
Did you ever see Chips when you were growing up?
You hold your wheel at 10 and 2, and you don't move, and you don't remove your seatbelt.
No, I was 17, I guess. Was that the age? Yeah, I was 17. I walked out to the front of the cop car or whatever, and like, he's got his window down. It was like, summer.
Stay right where you are.
He's writing stuff down. He's writing stuff down. He's like, and he looks up, and I'm there. And I'm like, hi. And he puts his hand in the middle of the car where there's like a firearm.
On his shotgun.
And he's like, will you please get back in the car? So I'm like, okay. Went back in the car. I'm like, oh my gosh, I'm scared to death.
Can't take it?
No. So and it says past a certain time you should really put your headlights on, blah blah blah. I'm like, okay.
So what was he writing down? If he wasn't gonna give you a ticket, what was he writing?
I don't know. Warning. I think I got a paper warning or something.
Wow.
I'll never drive in that town again at dusk without my headlights on.
That's for sure. I'm sure you never did.
Yep. Okay.
Was that your next item?
Your next.
No, your next then.
Being late. I can't stand being late.
I'm with you, dude.
I cannot.
For everything.
What? I cannot stand it. There was one day, I don't know what I was doing, but I think like I had to go to a christening, and then I had to go to a birthday party, and then I had to have like dinner with my parents, and right off the bat, I was late for the first event, and I knew that after that event, I would be late for the next one, and then late again.
I think you get anxious. You get that whole like heart racing, sweaty palm.
So it's just like, I remember that being like a really terrible day, and I swore, I'm like, you know what, I have to plan things so that I'm just not late. I'd rather be early. I'd rather be the first one, you know, in the room waiting for the party than be, you know, the last one. I hate that because it's rude. It's, I don't know.
I'd rather be an hour early than 5 minutes late.
My turn.
Mm-hmm.
I do everything righty except for bat.
Okay. Oh, I was going to say, please stop there.
Except for what?
Bat.
You bat left?
I bat lefty.
Wow.
It's the only thing
How
I
weird
do.
Is that?
And everything else I do righty. So
why?
I don't know. I have no idea.
In baseball,
who taught you how to bat?
I just got up there. When my father was teaching me how to bat, he kept putting me on the other side.
Was he left-handed?
No. He was right-handed. Everything
I did. Oh, he kept trying to push you.
Yeah, he's like, no, you're on this side. And I'm like, and no, I want to go on this side. And then he was like, no, you're righty. You're on this side. But, I mean, I understood what he was saying. Everything else I did righty.
It just felt
and I'm just like, no, it feels much better lefty.
Wow.
And he broke his heart. Everybody in the family was just like, my grandfather was like in, like, when they used to do that barnstorming thing. Like, he was like a minor league baseball player. My father was really good. I don't even know what side of the plate to stand on. You know, I was a disappointment. But then I realized, I do that. Bad lefty.
That's actually a benefit.
Well, I just go up to people and say, you know what? I can even hit you lefty. And then I hit him lefty.
My mom's a lefty, but she eats like a righty.
See, my sister's a righty, but she eats like a lefty because my mom's left-handed. And my mom taught... That's why I asked him who taught him how to bat, because my mom taught my sister how to cut...
And I don't know if this is because my mom is a lefty and taught me how to write. I don't know who the heck taught me how to write, or if I just do this on my own. But the way that you write the number 8, I use my right hand, but I write it like a lefty. Mm-hmm. Like a righty is supposed to start here and do this. I don't. I do it this way.
Oh, you do it
Yeah. Isn't that weird?
I thought you write like lefties with their wrists hanging. Like, I don't know how lefties write funny. No.
Yeah, it's
hard. They write weird.
I don't know.
Like they're like on top of the table. And their arms over it, I'm like, hanging upside down. That wrist that bends, I'm like, isn't that uncomfortable? I'm
a lefty. Wrist.
That wrist, you know, it bends.
They should have had lefty desks more. They only had a couple in the classroom.
Yeah, well, because,
most people are right.
When my mother, she went to Catholic school, they used to hit her hand. They used to hit her hand with a ruler to try to force her to be ready.
Nuns were always mean.
My friend Donna, her dad was a lefty, and... He was forced to be a righty.
Yeah.
By the nuns.
The nuns thought it was like work of Satan.
Well, because the word sinister and the word left are related. Like, they come from the same root, which I can't remember now. And so anything that was done with the left hand, anything on the left side, it was always considered dark, evil, bad.
Yeah.
It was like the yin to the right hand yang.
Yeah.
You know?
So yeah, those lefty scissors. In school.
Would you stop with those lefty scissors?
They bother me because they had a green rubber thing and the righties didn't have anything on it. And 99% of the kids were righties and they had these uncomfortable scissors and the lefties had these nice comfortable ones with the little green. And there's like 2 people in the whole school that uses them.
You've complained about that before.
I know, I don't like it.
It's not fair.
Why can't I have green on my right hand? Scissors didn't cut anything anyway, it didn't much matter, but...
At least they were comfortable.
Yeah, I know, at least they were comfortable when you're trying to cut paper for 10 minutes, it don't work.
Alright, I'm just trying to think of stuff because I wasn't able to think of anything before.
You want to borrow from one of mine?
No, I have 2 and I'm trying to decide which one to do, but I'm going to do them both anyway, so whatever. It doesn't bother me now anymore, but, like, I hated getting gas in my car. The other kind is fine. But I hated getting gas. I've been driving since, I mean, I got my license late. I was, like, 26, I think, or 25. I'm looking at you because you know.
Yeah, I was about that.
When I started driving. And I never got gas, except for one time, never got gas until I started working at the zoo. When I had no choice, because the car uses so much gas going back and forth that I have to stop all over the place, you know, to get gas. Well, you have something to say about
this. Well, last year I started keeping track of how many times
when I started working at the zoo.
Yeah, because it was only last year.
I always put it on the credit card, or the debit card, whatever, so he'll call me up. So I see you got some gas today.
Congratulations, nice. Number 5.
Wow.
Why do you hate it?
I stopped.
Not the best thing in the world. I don't like it, but
waste of time or
It's not that I care about that I'm at a gas station. Like when we go, you know, I'm with anybody and somebody else is the driver and they have to get gas, I don't care. Right. But when I'm the one that has to get gas, I just don't like doing it.
I hate it too.
Really?
I hate it too.
So I feel like it takes too much time.
I'll push
out of my
it to the very last time. Like drop possible.
I see. I don't know. Like, when I'm down to half a tank, I'll fill it again.
Just before my gas, like I'm like
job
crap.
So far.
I guess I gotta get gas.
It's like out of your way.
I feel like it's a waste of time.
Yeah, exactly.
I feel like it's a waste of time.
No, that wasn't it. It's like that. I don't like to talk to people.
Okay.
You know?
Yeah.
Like people, weirdos that I don't know. Not that anybody who works at a gas station is necessarily a weirdo.
You'd be fine in other states, then, because then you can pump your own gas.
No, I really wouldn't want to do
that,
though.
Remember, we have listeners all over the country.
I like pumping my gas.
Or at least in North Carolina. But there's only two states where you have to pump your own gas. One's like New Jersey, obviously.
Oh, so no, that you can't pump your own gas.
You can't pump your own gas. New Jersey and Nevada or something like that.
I don't know.
One other state. Because when I don't mind getting gas. I used to hate getting gas like Alicia. Maybe not to that degree, but then when I moved to Delaware, I'm like, oh, this is easy. You just jump out of your car, you do it yourself,
right.
You're in and out in 2 seconds.
I totally wouldn't want to do that, because I just did a kid's show in Pennsylvania, and I'm like, oh, crap, now I got to wait until I get back to Jersey to get gas.
No, you don't.
I drove like 100 miles to get there, and I'm like, I passed like 8 gas stations, and I'm like, nope. Now I get into Jersey, and there's like not one for like nowhere near. I'm like, oh, I'm going to
run out
of gas. I was lazy, but I don't know how. I would be like the idiot woman who would be like, excuse me, sir. Yeah. Can you please pump my gas for me, please?
Bat
my eyelash.
Just get to it so quick. No. That was like the best thing in the world. It's the best thing in the world. I always get
cancer
in New York.
I don't like to deal with people waiting on me. I like to just do it myself.
Yeah.
That's it.
Running 5-on-6 toward a bill. Going there, boom, boom, boom. Goodbye.
I don't even know what you just said. That was
$5 on pump number 6. I don't know how I knew that because I've never done it.
That's why I always get gas in New York.
Okay.
It's my turn. I may have told you guys this, but for the sake of the letting the world know and our listeners all over the,
Germany.
World. Yes, in Germany,
Canada.
Everywhere. I lived in a cemetery for 3 years. Did I tell you guys that?
What?
No.
I did. I lived in a cemetery
cool.
for 3 years. When I moved out of my house...
Were you dead?
No.
No, she lived.
No.
Oh,
my boyfriend at the time, when I was in my late teens, early 20s, his stepfather was the head cremator for... I'm not even going to mention the cemetery because whatever. But it was a big old cemetery that was... They began putting bodies into it in like the late 1800s, mid to late 1800s. And there was one portion of the cemetery that was like the older... Because we used to walk through, obviously. That was the older portion of the cemetery with the old, like really thin headstones. And then there was the whole like newer portion of the cemetery... Which had, like, the mausoleums and, like, you know, there was empty space for whatever. And it was actually one of only a handful of crematories left in New Jersey. And it's still standing. They have a crematory there. And he was, like, the guy who did all of the cremating. And I definitely had some pretty crazy experiences inside that cemetery.
Like ghost slaying?
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah.
Like, we used to have parties because what was really cool about it is that after... 6 o'clock or whatever, all the cemetery gates would lock, and it became private property, so the cops, like, never rolled through or whatever. Not that we were really doing anything that was...
Well,
like, I think
like
I was, like...
going to wake the neighbors.
Yeah. I think I was, like, 19, and we were probably drinking beer and stuff, like, whatever. But, you know, like, my sister and her friends would come, and they were, like, you know... I guess I was probably 20, because they were, like, 17. And we would drink, but there was one particular story that sticks out in my mind, is we were in... They were just being silly, my sister's friends, and we walked up to this, like, mausoleum that was not far from the house, probably like maybe a half a mile into the cemetery, and we were like sitting on like the steps of the mausoleum, and the door was like cracked open. I don't know if somebody had like broken into it to like sleep, or like sometimes because it was where it was in New Jersey was not like the best neighborhoods or whatever, so it could have been like a homeless person that broke into it to like sleep in there or something. And so we were all sitting on the steps or whatever, and everybody had taper candles and they were lit. So we were sitting there, and one of my sister's friends was like, you know, he looked up at the name on the top of the mausoleum, and he was like calling the name of the guy inside the mausoleum.
Oh.
And like my other sister's friends is like, stop, like, you know, like, what if somebody really comes? Like, what if, you know? And there was this big statue at the top of the hill of a woman with a child on her lap, and on the bottom, the only thing it said was mother. So, like, we always, like, looked at this mother as if she was, like, kind of watching over everybody.
Ooh.
So, it started to get, like, really creepy. The wind, like, picked up, and it started to rain, and everybody got kind of spooked because they were calling this guy.
Yeah.
And so, everybody got up and went to run, and my sister's friend said, mother, protect us. They ran from the mausoleum to, I am not kidding, to the porch with the candles lit. In the rain, running. I'm not kidding. They got to the porch and the candles were still lit.
Wow.
Yep. I got like goosebumps just thinking
about
the story. Like, it was really crazy. I mean, that's one of many, many stories I could tell you, but it was definitely a very, very interesting experience living in a cemetery. Like, you look out your bedroom window and it's just, you know, a hill with gravestones.
Couldn't do it.
Wow. I had a friend of mine. She her father was he owned a funeral home. Wow. Which was just a weird kind of, and you grow up in that thing. She didn't phase her in one bit. And she just talks about it like, you go up to sleep and the dead bodies are downstairs.
Yeah.
And that's it.
And I mean, I saw people get cremated and stuff. I saw the coffins come in. Like,
you know, when you get cremated, the your bones like don't actually burn. They actually have to crush them.
There's only two that don't burn. The two that don't burn, actually, after they put the casket up, or well, sometimes it's a box.
Yeah.
They crank it up onto whatever level the oven is. They push it into the oven. They put it on. The oven door locks. You can't open it for whatever it is, however many hours it is. But when they take you out, they pull you out with these big, long brushes that are the width of the oven and scoop you into this thing. And on the other side of the room, there's a grinder with a big funnel on top of it. The two that don't burn is the skull and the pelvis. They don't burn. So they have to be put through this.
Like, at all?
They don't at all. Wow. Like, the pelvis will come out almost intact.
Ooh.
Mm-hmm. And the whole top plate of your skull doesn't burn.
Well, this is from yet another podcast that I was listening to.
Yeah.
Like, I don't know if the bones, like, partially burned, or, you know, not those two, but partially burned somehow, whatever.
Mm.
But, like, there are still remnants, bits and pieces that are recognizable as bone. And they have to crush
it just gets
those.
Dumped through this big giant funnel, and they... I mean, this one was a hand crank. I'm sure they have one that have
machines. A hand crank?
Yeah, it was a hand crank.
How old was this thing?
I told you.
Did it start your car?
It had this big, like, hand wheel on it. He would stand there and, like, crank.
And what do you do for a job? Oh, I crushed dead bodies.
And there was stuff that you would have to pull out that wouldn't crank through this thing. Like, if anybody... Like, obviously, older people, if they had their teeth filled with gold. Or if they had any jewelry still on them, that doesn't melt in these temperatures, so you would have to pull all that stuff out, and it, you know, could be given back to the family or whatever.
Freaky.
Okay.
It's actually really interesting. I mean, I know it's probably creepy to you guys, but for me, it was I lived there for so long, it was
nothing.
Whatever. Yeah, no, I think it would be interesting after a while once you get used to it, and after a while, then you just look at the.
I mean, he was my boyfriend's stepfather was haunted by some things really disturbed him. Believe it or not, even after many years, like if he ever got a child, like if he ever had to cremate a child, like that was really bothersome to him. And he used to have like dreams about, you know, like this one in particular stands out. He got a very small casket in, and he opened it because he was really bothered by it. So he wanted to see, like, what happened to this child. And she was intact. She must have had some kind of illness or something. But she looked perfect. Like, as if, you know, and he said she was only, like, 3 or 4 years old. And she was absolutely beautiful.
Aww.
Absolutely gorgeous. Blonde, curly hair. She was wearing this gorgeous white dress. And he was haunted by her for a long time. He would, like, fall asleep at night, and like he would see her like standing in the cemetery calling for her mother.
Yeah,
like it haunted him for a long time.
Wow, that's sad.
I couldn't get over that.
Yeah, kids are tough.
Kids are rough.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah,
kids are rough.
Okay, say something happy now.
Okay. I have to admit that I am a cat walker.
Oh.
Yeah, it doesn't sound that bad just to say it, but at one point I had 3 cats, Frank, Beans, and Ash. Yeah, Franks and Beans. That was on purpose. Something About Mary, one of the best movies ever.
Oh.
Franks and Beans. but yeah, well, at one point I lived in a house where I had a yard in the back so my cats could freely go out, and they loved it, got used to it. And then living in an apartment complex, you can't really do that. Because where I am, it's a main road, and cars going in and out everywhere. But they love going out. They get used to it. So at one point with 3 cats, training them in the beginning, it was like a 3-ring cat circus. I'd have one on each leash. You know, one wanted to go that way. One would get spooked. One would go the other way. It was just crazy. At one point, I'd be sitting outside, just enjoying the weather, reading a book, and I'd have them each on their own leash, and they'd just kind of hang around. And
cute.
So, I mean, I was probably, like, known as the weird cat walker in my complex, but they loved it, so...
I'd rather that than just let them go out. Like,
And it's just really mean, because they really love to go out, and after about 3 days, if I don't take them, they get all anxious, and they're meowing and scratching at the door. So, but now I just have one that only likes to go out, and he's really good at walking, so, and it's really cute, because he'll stick to the sidewalk, go down the path, and he knows where to go, and And so some people, they'll stop me. They're like, wow, that's really cool. I wish I could get my cat to do that. You know? Others are just looking like, all right, what planet is this woman on? You know?
I bought my ex-girlfriend a rabbit, and she walked him.
Aw.
We walk the alpacas at work.
Yeah, but I mean, yeah, you work at a zoo.
Yeah, no.
Yeah, you know, she's walking a rabbit around a park with a leash on. It's a big difference. And everybody's coming up to look at what is that? Because it's just hopping around with the leash, and oh my God. And I used to walk it too.
I'm not the only one.
Oh, God. Oh, my God.
And now for some music from The Wag.
Got a long commute, but everything's alright. I know I'll be in time, and timing is everything. And when I saw your face, I know you must have known.
Tell a story about an artist that Alicia and I went to see perform, and before his show, he had a Q&A. Okay? Now, we went to see Colin Hay recently, lead singer at Men at Work. Happened to be a fan.
So cool.
Right, cool. It was very cool. So we get to the theater, and beforehand, there's a Q&A. And he gets up there to the mic. He's on stage.
This is so funny.
All right, so he's on stage, and whoever is in the theater at 6 o'clock, it was 6 o'clock to 7 or something, whoever's there during that time, like, you can move up to the front, you have to walk up to the microphone, ask a question, and then he's standing up, he says on his microphone the answer, or talks about whatever.
Not everybody that bought a ticket for the show also gets to go to the Q&A. You had to, I think, pay extra or something.
No.
But whatever. Not everybody that had a ticket for the show was in the Q&A also. So it was only like maybe 30 of us.
So it was just people who wanted to go
so
early.
Like, at first, we all sat in our seats, and then a lady comes in. She's like, no, you can move down. You don't have to sit in your seat for the Q&A. You can move down, and then when the show happens, then you move back to your seat. So we were front and center right there.
That's cool.
I sat dead center. Like,
right in front of him.
Colin A is like, I don't know, 2 feet away, whatever. So I mean, it was pretty cool, you know. So he's like, all right.
First question.
What do you guys want to ask? What do you want to know? Whatever. So and the woman before announced, like, you know, everybody trying to have good questions, whatever. And I was thinking, this is like the radio show that we're doing. Like, what would we ask him? So you know, like I thought of some questions, and I thought of one, and Alicia's like, oh, I gotta ask him that one, because it's, what was the weirdest gig you ever had, right?
But you didn't say what happened when you got up to ask yours. That's the story I thought you were gonna tell.
Oh, no. Well, when I went to...
we're all dying of anticipation to hear what happened.
Okay, all right, well, everybody's a little shy or whatever to ask questions. And I'm like, you know what? I'm here. I'm going to ask some question. So I got up to ask my question and, like, got up to the microphone. His phone rang. And he's like, all right, hold on a second. And it was his wife. He's like,
seriously?
My wife.
And she asked the first question.
Which I thought was pretty funny. He didn't tell us what it was.
Yes, he did.
Oh, he did? What was it?
Yeah, it wasn't actually meant to be a question for his Q&A. She just happened to call him. He played at some wine brewery place, whatever, a couple days before. And I don't remember what it was called, but when you play there, they make a bottle of wine, and they put your face on the label.
Oh.
And they give you... So she wanted to make sure that he brought home a bottle of that wine with his face on the label. So she called him just to make sure of that, and that turned out to be the first question.
That was cool.
Yeah, I thought it was really funny. You know what else I thought was funny? Was that here he is this, you know, big musician, he's been all over the world, toured with this great band, blah, blah, blah. And what is his ringtone? A telephone.
Oh!
Like, it's not a song, are you kidding me?
That's
it's just
funny.
Ring! And it's an it was like the iPhone 4. I mean, he could have done a
That's
better ringtone.
Funny.
I thought it was funny.
So, my question to him was, what comes first when in your writing, you know, is it the words, is it the music, whatever? I thought it would be, like, you know, a good question. You know, instead of like, oh, I love you, like, what's, you know, my favorite song is, you know, Down Under, or whatever, like how crazy fans would be, or whatever. So, you know, he talked a little bit about that, whatever, and some people started asking him questions, and it was funny, because one question was like, it didn't even really make sense. It was like,
something about, I don't remember exactly.
The reverberation.
Yeah, something about the way that fans were back then, and the way they are now, I think I sort of understood what the guy was trying to say, sort of. Like, do they sort of ask the same kind of questions now, or do you get the same feeling from them, or is it the same for you now as it was back then kind of thing?
I don't know, but he was like,
nobody understood him.
He's like, is that a question?
Yeah, and he really didn't get it.
So I told Alicia, like, we should ask him what was the weirdest gig, and she's like, oh, I gotta ask him that.
Yeah, well, no, it's not that I was trying to take your question. I just didn't have a really good one, so Brian said, here, take this one. So I did.
So he told us that he played in Germany. He's like, it was, like, two that he could think
really
of.
Weird gigs, yeah.
He's like, I played in Germany, and it was, like, after the wall came down, and he said, and everybody was, like, drinking, like, crazy, whatever, and he said it turned out that they had him play in a showroom,
a
car dealership, and he was like playing in front of like the new car that they were releasing. He's like, it was very strange.
It was a commercial.
And like it was like a commercial. You know, I'm playing in front of the new car. He said the other weird gig also I think was in Germany.
I don't remember.
And he said that he was playing in a barn. They had him play in a barn where they had like cows and stuff. And he said, he was pretty sure the cows were in there recently.
Yeah.
Because you could see them outside the barn.
He said the one cow was looking in the window like, hey, I used to live here.
So he played in a barn.
That's funny.
I thought that was pretty neat because It was like something that we would do on our radio show. We would ask like, you know, well, hey, what was the weirdest gig you ever played?
Yeah. So, we played in a clothing rack. We got you beat, Colin.
So I thought it was funny to actually ask somebody, you know, what their weirdest gig was.
He said he knows there are plenty more, but he just couldn't think of any.
Right, I saw Billy Joel, the same thing, but it was just a Q&A. It wasn't a concert, it was just a Q&A. You know, he played songs, played like five or six songs.
Yeah.
And I went with a couple friends of mine, big, all of us, just huge Billy Joel fans. We had the worst seats in the world, all the way in the back at the top. Like, what I mean the worst seats, like, those were the worst seats.
Yeah.
And so my friend's like, we're going down. I'm like, no, come on, I don't make a scene. You know what I mean? We're going down. And we're moving, and we keep moving slow, and we're paying off, like, the people that were, you know, sit there to bring you to your seats. And you say, listen, do you know a place where here's $20? Just, you see that nobody's there. Okay, go ahead. Because they're all, you know, they're all college kids. They just want to make money. So you keep moving down. But then you had to realize if you're in somebody's seat and they come,
right, you got to move.
You're
back.
Screwed. So we finally said it was four of us, sitting in the seats, and we see four people walking down the steps. And there's two sets of four seats.
One,
and then the one set that was in the aisle in front of us. And they, sure enough, they look down at us and just look at us and look at their ticket and look at us. I'm like, we're screwed. Meanwhile, the lights are on because he's answering questions. You know what I'm saying? Or he's talking. Excuse me. He wasn't answering questions at this point. He's doing this whole, hi, how you doing? My name's Billy Joel thing. And we're jumping over chairs to get to the next seats. And he stops talking and he waits for us to fall to the seats.
Oh, no.
So I'm like, oh my God. And meanwhile, the whole audience is looking at us. So they all watch us jump into these seats. I'm like, we're getting taken out of here now. This is bad. But I guess they didn't want to interrupt anything, so they just left us alone. So then if he asks his first question, the first question, I ask people the worst seats, and he asked the people that were now sitting in our seats. I don't know why they sat there, but we would have had the first question. So I picked the person with the worst seats who would never thought he'd have a chance to ask a question, and he goes right to my seat. I turn around my friend, I want to kill him. I'm fine. I'm like, don't worry. We'll stay here. It's fine by me, because I don't like making a scene like that. Like, I hate that.
Yeah.
And oh, my God. And then the thing's going along, and we have a question, raising our hand, and, you know, we all had our hands raised, and the guy's walking around with a microphone, and then he kind of comes up to us, and he goes, no, not them. And he whisked them away, because we were the guys that
who
were
said it? Who said
Billy Joel.
Oh, my God. No
yeah, I couldn't ask my question. And I was the one that just wanted to sit in the back, and I would have got the first question, would have been the happiest guy in the world.
What was your question?
I forget, but we all had a question. But then my other friend, he had a friend that lives out in Long Island. And then every year, when they, like, the first day of, like, you launch your boat, they take all the rich people and they go out on their boats. And they have a water balloon fight between the boats. Like, all the rich people throwing water balloons at each other and stuff like that.
Yeah.
My friend just happened to be a friend of somebody, and he was on the boat. He was great. And in the boat next to him was Billy Joel. So he has a video of him hitting Billy Joel in the face with a water balloon.
That's cool.
You got to be a target. Like, I mean, I wouldn't be like, oh, there's Billy Joel, I have a water balloon. But I have to try to hit him. Yeah. I love the guy. You got to try to hit him. So you can say, hey, I hit Billy Joel with a water balloon.
Did he have a water balloon? Or?
Yeah, no, Billy Joel's throwing him around and stuff like that. But my friend, yeah, he had his friend videotape. He's like, I think I can get him. And he just hit him right in the slap and fix.
Oh, wow.
Thanks for listening to the Imaginary Radio Show. To hear our music and to download more Imaginary Radio Show episodes, please visit www.thewagband.com.